Hi, I'm Cameron.
And I'm Emily.
I've never read Twilight before.
And I've read the books too many times to count. But now we're reading them together.
Welcome to Unbitten, a journey through the Twilight Saga.
Hi.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Happy Thanksgiving. Hi. If you celebrated it.
Oh, yeah. I hope your Thanksgivings all went well for the Americans out there.
Yeah.
Any non-Americans, I hope you were unhappy and not grateful.
Yeah, me too.
Are we done with the podcast? I think that was enough for today.
All right, yep, let's wrap it up.
Thanks for listening to Unbitten if you want to get...
okay. I like our new bit of being like, we're done the podcast. We're canceling it.
Yeah.
This is the end of the episode.
I just can't take it anymore.
Kill me.
I've hit a wall.
That's what Bella said at the beginning of the...
Yeah, literally.
She's like, let me die.
Nightmare. Like, but actually.
The most relatable she's been the entire series.
Yeah, honestly. No, the 4 months staring out a window was also pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, how could it not be like top tier Bella moment?
I know that we talked about this like a year and a half ago, but I can't believe that that is a controversial moment in the books.
Yeah, I know.
I think it's a great bit of writing.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
I think it's so much better than what would have happened if I had to read Stephanie Meyer
describing
writing out those 4 months.
Exactly.
It's great. All right. So just a BT dubs to all of our beautiful listeners out there. I am both hungover and sick.
Uh-huh.
And Emily is an EB baby.
Yeah, I'm really
so. this is gonna be an interesting one for the people, but that's okay.
We're doing our best. We do this for you.
We do this for you. Not recording the podcast. I get hungover and sick for you.
Yeah, I play Baldur's Gate for you.
Mm-hmm.
I just stayed up till 2 a.m. It's fine. As you do.
I went home at a normal time, but oh boy, had I had some to drink. Mm-hmm.
I told Liv to slap me before I actually got on the call with you.
Did they do it?
No, they were like, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to do it. And I was like, can I just take your hand and demonstrate what I want you to do, like, on my face? Like, it's not going to be that bad. Because what I wanted was for them to just take their hand against my cheek and go like this.
Yeah. That's I hear you. Not only do I hear like the audio of you doing it, but I also hear what you would like, and I agree.
Yeah. So, and they were like,
I'm going to be even more nonsensical than usual today.
Yeah.
That was like a really roundabout sentence to just say I agree with you.
Yep, it was. It was weird. But yeah, they could barely handle doing that, and I made them do it, and they were like, I didn't like that. So anyway.
So I know what you guys don't do in bed. I like how your non-response confirmed to me that you probably do that in bed. It just doesn't translate into your everyday life. And I don't want you to confirm or deny. In fact, I think we should move on.
So, chapter 19.
No, there's a preface first.
Fuck the preface.
The preface is so spoilery.
I know.
In my onion.
Yeah. I read it and obviously I was like, fuck this preface.
Yeah, it's just like, the Volturi will be back and this time she'll be a vampire.
Right? Like, is it mysterious that there's people in cloaks? Like...
Okay, the worst thing is that it's like, ooh, people in cloaks, their hands curl into bone-colored claws. Mm. But then she straight up says the Volturi.
Yeah, like...
There would at least be some mystery if you didn't name drop them.
Yeah, I don't...
And then Michael Sheen comes on screen. It's like, huh? What?
And he's like, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha!
It's exactly what he does.
Yeah, yeah.
It just feels like instant spoiling.
There's some sort of Venn diagram between 8th Harry Potter movie, Voldemort doing his weird hug,
mm-hmm.
and whatever the hell Michael Sheen is doing as playing Aro Volturi.
Yeah.
There's some.
Yeah, yeah. There's, I see the vision.
Right. There's something there. I don't feel afraid of these villains. I just want to point and laugh at them.
I think they're just goofy little guys.
They are. They're so goofy.
And I know that we're saying that about, like, Voldemort while he, you know, like, was committing genocide.
Yeah.
So maybe we should take it back. But he's kind of just a goof. He doesn't even have a nose.
We get close-ups of his feet.
We do.
Barefoot. On the ground.
Mm-hmm. We get his dogs in detail.
Get those dogs
Do you think... I think it's kind of strange that of all the characters we would get close-ups of dogs, it would be Voldemort.
I know. What does it say?
Who would be, like, your number one character to get the dogs from in Harry Potter?
Like,
can I go, like, completely opposite side of the spectrum and say, like, Dumbledore?
Sure. I feel like you went so...
I'm not saying I want.
But who would I expect? I don't think you went... I think you went so opposite side of the spectrum that you actually came full circle back to the connecting point of the circle, actually, with that one.
That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to be like, okay, the exact same guy, but good.
Yeah, it's the same guy. Those are the same feet.
Those are the same feet. Those are old man feet. Anyway, what kind of feet would you want to see in Harry Potter?
You know, I'm just gonna... Neville Longbottom. Actually, we do see his feet.
Oh, yeah, we totally do. Sticking out of his little nightgown in like, the first movie or something like that.
Okay, great. Perfect.
We know too much about the Harry Potter movies. This is what I'm discovering right now.
I was about to say, I'm like, why do I know that his feet are out?
why? So, the two people who we see the toes of are Neville Longbottom and Tom Marvolio Riddle.
Marvolio? Where did the I come from? Is he Italian? Marvolo. He's Italian now.
He's Italian now. Mamma mia. I'm gonna kill the muggles. I'm sweating.
Oh, good. Oh, so this is going really well so far.
Do you think we're going to see Aro's toes soon?
Spoilers.
Spoilers. You can't tell me if we get to see Michael Sheen's dogs.
Tell you.
All right. So we get to chapter 19. Dogs aside.
Actually, there's some dogs out. I just remembered. I won't say whose.
Oh, my God. Stop. We've already seen dogs in Twilight, though. We saw, like, Victoria's.
Oh, yeah. She was all about that. She put her little into the mud.
Yeah, well, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Take a drink Bella's every time you going see those dogs it. Out.
Yo, honestly, new rule. Like a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Game.
Yeah, yeah.
Take
a
shot when there are dogs.
You'll die.
Alcohol poisoning.
You'll die
instantly.
In the first, like, 5 seconds of Kill Bill.
You're so right.
There's a whole extended scene of wiggle your big toe. I remember. I've seen the movie.
I don't remember. I've seen the movie, but not in a very long time. I was glad I didn't remember, so fuck you for reminding me.
Well, she, like, can't, like, move properly with her lower body, so she's just staring at her own bare feet. Urging herself to wiggle her big toe while the camera's on her feet.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's like the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that we spent 10 minutes of recording time talking about feet.
And that feels on brand for us.
Unfortunately, it really does. And that's making me question our brand.
So, we read Breaking Dawn. We got the...
Every time we say Breaking Dawn, I think we're going to say Breaking Bad. Bella, we've got to cook. Mr. Cullen.
So, chapter 19 is called Burning.
We're back to boring chapter titles.
Literally,
and
I wrote down word for word what I wrote down. Back to boring titles.
Yeah, I miss Jacob's chapter titles.
I don't necessarily
miss being in his head.
No, I kind of do too. It's really fucking entertaining.
It was really funny. He's just so, like, what the fuck is going on at all points?
At all times.
Whereas Bella's just, like, sad and whatever.
She just, like, accepts whatever's happening to her.
Yeah.
So, anyway, she's burning. That's the end of this
chapter. She's in a lot of pain.
Genuinely, I have beef with the fact that this is a chapter because nothing...
It's just the same as the last chapter.
Yeah, but nothing happens because it starts with her being like, oh, I'm going in and out of, like, blackness, which is the non-reality, and then red, which is reality and filled with, like, pain and horror. And I'm like, wow, didn't we just read this?
Yeah. And so essentially, yeah, it sucks. You know that a book sucks when it's like...
They backtrack.
It's all blackness. It's all darkness. Yeah. And then you get like a line that's just more blackness. And you're like, this is what we're doing on purpose. We're taking up page space to do this.
Right. Like, why isn't this like a paragraph at the beginning of chapter 20 called New right before she wakes up or something? I don't know.
Yeah. And I would even be down for a shorter version of this that doesn't do as much of the scene we already saw, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I like, to an extent, I think being in her head is interesting for this part.
Yeah, you want to know.
But I don't want to have
the experience.
I don't need to hear that she's wondering why they didn't get the baby out. Like, we know she's wondering it when she's screaming, get it out.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to relive that. We know what's going on in her. Like, we don't
hear her head,
but we don't need to.
Because we already know how it ends. So you're not adding anything at this point.
There's no drama.
It's just her being like, I keep fading in and out. There's pain. Oh, now something weird is, you know, cold is cutting into my abdomen. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I already watched Edward bite into you going, I already saw that.
Insane.
Yeah, that's crazy. One thing that we really didn't get to touch on, probably because so much horror was happening in the last chapter,
yeah,
was that from Bella's POV, because Jacob was refusing to look at this monstrous infant demon baby, was that Renesmee is held in front of her and smiles at her with a full complement of white teeth. This baby born with a full set of teeth.
Baby born with teeth.
Horrifying.
This more at 11.
Uncanny valley for me. Like,
I know, it's so creepy. Like, the whole description is creepy. She is not crying.
Yeah.
She's covered in blood.
Yeah.
She already has wide open eyes, beautiful, perfectly round head with curls that are thick and matted and bloody.
Ew.
And then she has these astonishing chocolate brown eyes, and her skin is completely pale except for these flaming rosy cheeks, like almost unnaturally, like almost like it's painted on, it seems to me. And then a smile of behind shell pink lips of a full set of teeth.
Horror.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Which I don't think it's meant to be as scary as it is.
I know, but the thing is, it so is. It's very funny because we didn't really talk about the implications because we already know that Renesmee bit Bella, like, when she was held against her.
Mm-hmm.
She literally got bit and we were just like, there's too much happening right now. But it's like, literally, how would she bite her if she didn't have teeth, right?
With baby gums. Yeah. Like, I would have even been able to understand to an extent.
Yeah.
Oh, but fuck, they don't even have, like, fangs.
No.
Fuck, I forgot that this universe, they don't have... Because I was like... If it was like a universe where vampires have fangs, I would be able to see, okay, maybe she's born with fangs because even babies need to feed, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
and
the rest
of her teeth come in later, like a person. But that's not even how it works.
It's very funny to
me. So now I'm just lost.
Because I've had to remind like more than one person about Twilight that they do not have fangs. There's specifically the fact that they don't have fangs is the point. They just have a full set of normal ass teeth and they're like sharper. That's it.
Yeah, I don't like it.
So yeah, baby born with teeth. More at 11.
Truly.
Bella feels herself like slipping away and she's like trying to hold on to her consciousness or whatever. And we get the recap of Jacob being like, hold on, keep your heart beating, whatever. Been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
But we do get a weird series of sentences where she thinks about...
That's like all of these books. A weird series of sentences.
I can't describe it as a paragraph. I can't describe it as like a scene. It's a weird series of sentences where she thinks about Renesmee and suddenly she's like found a reason to like hold back on again, except she imagines phantom limbs that she wraps around her baby, and her baby is there, and the heat is real, and she's clutching it closer, exactly where her heart should be, and she's holding tight the warm memory of her daughter, but then the warmth becomes more real, and she's like, oh shit, I really want to drop the thing in my arms, and then she's like, oh wait, I imagined my arms aren't moving, oh wait, the heat is just my heart. It's written so poorly.
It's so weird.
It's supposed to be like a metaphor of like, oh, like I'm imagining cradling her and I can even feel the warmth. But it's written in such a way that it sounds like she is holding the baby. And then she's like, oh, wait, I'm not holding the baby. Oh, wait, I'm actually just burning because of venom in my heart. Like, it's so confusing.
It's dumb. I also want to say that Bella is so boy mom coded.
Boy mom?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Like the mother of boys.
Oh.
Like someone who would have kids that are boys and like be like the fact that she like really wanted a boy.
Yeah.
And was like so shocked when it wasn't.
Yeah.
And was gonna name it after her two lovers.
Right.
And
which is what like, that's a lot to unpack.
Is like not like other girls and, you know, doesn't have a lot of girlfriends.
I know, yeah. You're totally right.
I just wanted to put that in there.
Yeah, because she's going to name her...
I was totally thinking about it.
She's going to name her son after her two lovers and then her daughter after her two moms.
Yeah.
Why?
Inside you, there are two wolves. Your two lovers are your two moms. These are also the two genders.
The thing is, she had a name planned for the middle name if it was EJ, Edward Jacob, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wasn't it going to be, like, Carlisle and Charlie?
Charlisle? I have no idea.
Carly?
Carly!
Maybe I'm making that up. Is that fandom?
I have no idea.
Anyway.
If that's real.
That's cute, though.
You think I remember?
No. Edward Jacob. EJ. That's my initials.
It is!
Yeah.
Wow. You can spell.
I really can. So I hate that whole section. Okay. And actually, what's interesting is I wanted to talk about that part because we had a whole discussion about it in the spoiler zone on server where everyone was like, what the fuck is this set of words? What does this mean? Because, like, yeah, when you get to the end of it, you piece back together like, oh, it was supposed to be a metaphor the whole time that she's never actually holding her baby at all. But at the very beginning, it's written that she imagines phantom arms and she's like, I feel like I'm cradling her again. This is where, you know, this is where the heat's meant to be. But then she becomes confused that her arms aren't real. And I'm like, but you said you imagined that these phantom limbs at the beginning of the paragraph.
Right. Like you said they were fake.
Yeah.
Why are you now confused about them being fake?
Yeah. It's very weird. So yeah.
Sure is.
We had a discussion about that. So I just thought I'd be like, remember that guy's fucking stupid ass series of words.
Shout out to our Discord in the spoiler chat.
Yeah.
Get in on it, patrons.
Yes, get in on it.
So we essentially go through a bunch of Bella being in pain. And Bella being so riddled with morphine that she can't move to scream and let out any sort of, like, release of this pain.
We also talked about this in Discord.
Tell me more.
Well, there was a, you know, a discussion of, like, well, why, like, doesn't she move at all in that moment? Like, can she move or whatever? Like, some people were like, what happens here? And I was like, well, what it's decided upon is that it's because of the morphine that she can't move. Though there is later a recollection of how Carlisle specifically held back his screams and his moving to keep it secret. And she wished that she could do the same. But she's like, what cruel irony. Now I literally can't scream and I really want to.
Right.
And so we were recalling what happens there because the conclusion here is morphine doesn't make you unable to move.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah, it's a painkiller. It's not a, like, an anesthetic. It's just a painkiller. Right.
I mean, is there anything known about taking it in high quantities is like a sedative? Does that like make you really lethargic? And if you take like a lot, does that make it?
I think in high doses, it definitely has like sedative qualities, but it's not something that's known to be like you cannot move at all or even make sounds or scream.
Yeah, I don't so get the idea of her not being able to talk in any sort of way.
Yeah, because yeah, it just that pushes beyond the bounds of how I think it should work. But what actually we were sort of looking through the book having this discussion, and what I had not brought up is actually pages, like a page before this in the book, we were all like, well, you know, wouldn't she know this? Wouldn't they all know that morphine doesn't work from when she got her broken leg in the first book? But she does say, like, actually, I knew the whole time that morphine wouldn't work because I had that happen to me. So, yeah, she's like, no, I knew it wouldn't work, but I wanted to give them, like, a sense of comfort that we could try it.
Right, right, right.
Sucks, though. Maybe you should stop lying, though. Bella, just to make other people feel better.
Yeah. It's, yeah, that is something that I noted later, which I'll get to. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's this line, I struggled to keep the screams and thrashing locked up inside my body where they couldn't hurt anyone else.
Yep.
Absolute batshit behavior.
Insane.
Like, she's so self-sacrificing in such an infuriating way.
I know. But and the angst that could have been if it was Edward sitting there watching her scream and thrash and couldn't do anything about it.
And you know what? This is why it sucks that we don't get Edward's point of view ever in these main books.
Yeah.
Because I want, you know what I want? Mm-hmm. Is I want these 2 days from Edward's perspective. That is what my heart desires.
I know. It's, I can only imagine. And that's why if she had been, you know, screaming, you know, bloody murder, kill me, kill me, kill me, let me die for 2 days. Mm-hmm. Oh, num, 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 num. I eat that
chef's
shit up.
Chef's kiss.
Exactly. But no.
Yeah, we are sick fucks who like when there's angst and our characters are in pain and we get to read about it.
I want someone to be in a relationship and for someone to be in pain and for the other person to be like, I can't do anything except watch them be in pain. Now I'm in pain.
And it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's so good. Shout out to Beltane.
Fuck.
Everyone go read Throne of Glass.
Read Throne of Glass. It's got all of this.
Please, you can cry with us. It's so great.
Literally, the burning.
Like,
the burning.
I know. That's like the better burning chapter.
I know. Oh my God. You say such true things all the time.
I do. I really do. Thank you for understanding
books.
Me.
I love those books.
I love them so much. When are we going to reread them?
I was just thinking, like, fuck, I need to reread those.
You know what you need? No, you need to read Fourth Wing.
Yeah, I do. I actually...
So that I can reread it with you. And then I own Iron Flame, but I haven't read it yet because I want to read it with you.
See, I actually looked up at my library to get the Fourth Wing, and there's 163 holds above me or something like that.
Can I, like, buy you a copy of it
You don't need to buy it something. For me. I can just buy it myself because at this point I'm like, I'm not going to read it for months unless I buy it.
Yeah.
So, and everybody loves it.
Or, like, buy an ebook or something if you don't want to get a physical copy. Like, I know you can buy it in some degree on, like, Kindle or something.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm a physical book bitch, so.
Oh, let's me too if I here. Can be, but.
Yeah.
I am asking for a Kindle for Christmas. Because I just keep buying. My issue is that I own too many books.
Yeah.
Is that I'm bad at just going to the library, getting books. I want to own them. And so I buy books and then I have way too many physical copy books. Mm-hmm. So I'm asking for a Kindle.
Yeah. That's probably a good idea.
Be a Kindle bitch. Anyway.
You could just get your copies of Throne of Glass again on Kindle. Then you don't have to carry
That's
around
true.
Two books like a weirdo while you read the tandem
right,
read
right,
part.
For sure. I could, yeah. So then I'll have the set I have now. Mm-hmm. I'll have my inevitable new set of the new covers. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have a Kindle version. And then eventually I'll get a hardcover set that's going to be like my display set.
Me with Twilight.
Yeah. Yeah. We're insane people.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Respect.
Speaking of being insane.
Yeah, speaking of being
Bella's
insane.
Bella's body is healed.
Yeah, she actually... notes that the pain doubles because suddenly her spinal cord is repaired and she's like, ah, fuck, now I feel my legs in pain too. Great.
Yeah, it's like, this is just mean at this point. And then eventually we get to Bella being able to have a little bit of consciousness and being able to hear what's going on around her.
Yeah.
And we get some conversations between Edward and Carlisle.
Yeah, Edward's like, she's not moving. I fucked it up. Something's gone wrong. And I'm like, see, just scream a little, Bella. That Edward would worry in a different way. A funner.
In a way that...
A spicy way.
I know, I was going to say, in a way that I would enjoy. Yeah.
Suffer.
Suffer, as I have.
Oh, my God.
That's an Overwatch alt reference.
You know, so. I really can't wait for you to read Midnight Sun. I just, at least there's some.
I'm so excited to be in that little freak's head.
Yeah. Yeah, that is really the best, yep, best way to put
it's
it.
It's going to be great. He's such a little weirdo.
Yeah. So Carlisle's like, no, can't you hear her heart? She's perfect. She's great. Everything's great. And then Carlisle calls Edward's son, and I got the ick. I really got the ick. Like, I know he's Daddy Carl, but, like, when he calls Edward son, I'm like, bitch, you're 23 and he's 17. Don't go son around this shit.
I know. It's so dumb.
Like, this is such a you're not my real dad moment.
You're not my dad.
Yeah. There's no mention of where Renesmee is, which is driving Bella a little crazy.
Yep.
Especially because there's a point where they're having, like, a half-sided conversation where obviously Edward has read Carlisle's mind a little bit and is just answering some unknown questions, which is infuriating. Yeah.
They also, like, Alice comes in, yeah, and she's talking to Edward, and Edward's like, how long is she going to be like this? Because Alice is able to see into her future now because the baby's gone. Mm-hmm. Because she says, like, I can't read these half-breeds. Odd half-breeds.
Yep.
It's like, okay.
Is that a slur?
I think it is.
Yeah. But then, she gives the excuse that she can read humans okay because she was one. And vampires best because she is one. And I'm like, sure, I guess, whatever. All of these powers are nonsense and the rules are made up as we go.
They really, really are. But yeah. And that's just something we're going to have to deal with.
She's like, Bella's almost done cooking. And Alice says an exact time in her head. So Edward can read her mind and is like, nice, cool. And Bella's like, please, please just tell me, please.
Yeah, she's like, I barely even know how long I've been like this, really.
Yeah, she's been counting Edward's breaths as her, like, marker of time.
Time passing, yeah.
Insane. Horrible.
Yeah.
That part is good. That's a good detail that I like. Because, like, what's more, like, agonizing of, like, obviously you're in pain and you're burning and you don't know when it's going to stop. And you're, like, the only sense of tie to time and reality is I'm counting breathing to the point, and she gets up to, like, what, 10,000 or something higher than that.
Yeah, she says the exact number. It's like, I don't even know what it was, but she lists this exact number that it went to.
Yeah,
in between conversations.
It's I think it's good detail. I personally liked it because I'm just like, Jesus Christ, superstar.
Yeah. So anyway, the baby still isn't there.
Yeah.
And her hearing that they're going to keep the baby away is what causes her to have her first movement in days. Her fingers twitch, yeah, and the whole room goes silent.
Yeah.
And Edward's like, Belle, are you okay? And then all of a sudden, her heart, or the fire in her chest flares up.
Yeah.
Her heart starts beating very fast and then stutters, thuds once more, and she's not in pain anymore.
Yeah, that's the last her heart beats. Like,
I know.
It just stops.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
But she's still out and about.
Yeah.
She's a vampire now.
It's just
we've
like,
finally done it after, like, so many books.
I know. And then she opens her eyes and the chapter ends. And I'm like, yeah, obviously you're going to do that. Obviously,
yeah.
It's the only way you can do a chapter like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then we get to chapter 20, which is titled New.
Yeah.
And my first note is that Stephanie Meyer decided that there's an eighth color of the rainbow that vampires can see.
Well, you know, it's like shrimp colors.
Crazy. It's so stupid.
Do you know about shrimp colors?
Yes, I do. Okay. It's all stupid.
If our listeners don't know, I'm just gonna so Bella shrimp sees like a colors. shrimp now, so Because as we all know, there's a type of shrimp that can see more colors in the rainbow than we can see because they have more cones in their eyeballs. So there's colors mm-hmm. that we don't know exist, and those are the shrimp colors. So Bella,
and Bella can
see
at least
colors.
One of the shrimp yeah. colors.
So oh yeah, there's an eighth color that she has no name for. She's like,
but it's
whoa.
Just I get it. It's like her eyes, like everything's sharper and clearer and defined.
Yeah,
but I don't know why I particularly think it's really dumb it's, of her to just have an eighth color,
Cameron,
for no reason.
Cameron, it's because of the extra chromosomes.
Fuck, you're right.
That's where all the new
chromosomes made me a shrimp.
She got them shrimp chromosomes. Literally, yeah. She looks at like the white light and she sees like the full spectrum of colors. Like, that's what's happening here. Cause, like,
I think she's high.
Oh my god, she's just on acid.
Bro,
bitch,
I can
I took
see
acid,
a new color.
I would also see the shrimp colors, okay? You're not special.
Yeah. We should drop acid and go looking for shrimp.
I like the idea of go looking for. Like,
yeah.
Where?
We'll be on a mission.
Where?
I don't know. Just around.
Just us two lost in the woods, high out of our minds. Someone
yeah,
with a flashlight.
In the cemetery near your house.
Ladies, can I help you? What are you doing here? Where are the shrimp colors?
Do you know where the shrimp colors
are? We know you're
are?
Hiding them here.
That'd be great.
Yeah. So, want to go camping?
God. Do I look like the type of bitch who likes to go camping?
I don't know. You have a lot of L.L. Bean in your wardrobe, don't you?
Okay, you make a good point. I take it all back.
Okay. So, speaking of different colors, we also have new smells.
yeah. Blood smell.
She has a good line here that I've always enjoyed, where Bella inhales automatically, but there's no relief tied to the action. Air just, like, moves. I don't know. I feel like it's such a good and interesting description of someone breathing who doesn't need to breathe. Like, what does it feel like to breathe, but it doesn't do anything? You know?
Right. Yeah, because I have always struggled to conceptualize the whole vampire breathing thing.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed reading this from her perspective and, yeah, seeing that.
I think
she's, the action doesn't, it feels just strange because there's no outcome tied to it.
It feels strange to not do it because it's like an automatic thing, but it's because she loses the sense of like tasting the air, which is so predatory. Mm-hmm. Very fun.
Yeah, she doesn't need the air, but she likes it because it allows her to taste and smell more around her.
She's just a little snake.
She is. She's like, Ella. Oh, those were two very different noises that we made for snake.
You're one of those silly little goofy, like, ooh-woo face snakes.
Yeah, I was doing one of the ones that, like, has his tongue out and it, like, flicks it up and down a bunch.
Uh-huh. And I was
and
sort
just,
of
like, sitting there like that.
I was sort of giving Barty Crouch Jr. Creepy snake.
David Tennant.
Yeah.
David Tennant's best role.
Truly. What an actor.
Yeah, that actor sure knows how to lick his lips. That's what they always say about him, too.
I learned from the best.
Mm-hmm.
But
were you like his disciple?
So she notices, of course, the strongest smell is of the person next to her. And she's like, it's an almost honey, lilac, and sun-flavored scent. And I'm like, this is so fan fiction coded. Like,
it's so fan
this
fiction
is,
coded.
He smelled like spices, leather, and some other third thing that was uniquely him.
Right. And listen, this is such a fucking comp. Like, they do it in Throne of Glass, too.
They
so
do.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
It's like, not everyone is free of this.
No.
This is a very common thing.
It's a common trope that people always do two things and then a third thing that was uniquely this person.
Right. It's just so stupid.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, I find it really annoying when they do it, when an author does that with just, like, normal humans.
Right.
I think it makes, like, I think this, I mean, it's annoying, but it makes sense because she has heightened senses.
She does. She can actually distinguish. When you're reading through a glass
and there's, like, fae,
yeah.
You know that that's a thing because
you can actually, they have heightened senses. Because you can actually pick out each individual, like, scent and component of something and even use scent as a tracking thing. I'm like, okay, yeah. I believe that you were picking up on this specifically.
Yeah, but it's still dumb.
Sure. Well, I think it becomes better and more interesting when she actually lists a bunch of, you know, smells all in a row and is like, I don't really understand. There's something sweet about him, but there's not a word for it. It's not a mm-hmm. smell that I can specifically name. And she, like, lists a whole bunch of things all at once. And I'm like, yeah, because he's got a weird vampire, you know, special smell. Sure.
Yeah, special Edward smell.
Yeah.
Bottle that.
I'll drink it.
Yeah. Right? Edward Bathwater.
Fuck yeah. Sign me up.
Literally. I didn't like have tongue ASMR on my bingo card for this episode, but here we are.
I never have anything on my bingo card for any episode. Let's be honest here.
So it's a blank bingo card. I'm hesitant to even write down that we talk about the chapter.
Yeah, we don't know that for sure. That is not a guarantee. It might not happen.
It's not. Anyway.
I'm certain there's an episode where we mostly talk about something else entirely for more than half the episode. I'm certain.
I am one. Very certain of that. There are some filler episodes in Twilight.
Yeah.
Where we
yeah.
talk about bullshit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Another part that I really like, I do enjoy this chapter purely for the sense of, like, here's what it's like to be a vampire. What is it like?
Yes, finally, I love getting it. That. And it's not just what's it like to be a vampire? What is it like for a human to be experiencing the new things that make you yes. a vampire?
And it's not just, because, oh my, like, God, it would I'm be, thirsty.
It's different from, right, and it's different from just someone, you know, if you start a book and you are in the perspective of a vampire They've who has been a vampire been for 100 way. Years,
yeah.
they don't get that newness I that love, you get I, from Bella.
You know, it's called new, and I have to agree. It is. I have to agree.
Sure is new.
It's even better Born. Than the Bree Tanner novella, because...
Mm-hmm.
Like, she hasn't just woken up in that instant. She's been around for, yeah. like, I don't know, a week or something, a couple weeks. Bella's like, oh, holy shit, I don't know what's going on. Whoa, I was not expecting this. I know I'm a vampire, but what is everything happening around me? And everything's happening right. in her brain so fast and simultaneously so fast. Of, like, a bunch of smells. I can see a bunch of things. There's something I can hear downstairs. I can hear someone's music driving by on the road far away. Like, it's crazy how much she is processing at maximum speed. And then Edward mm-hmm. squeezes her hand and she's like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. She freaks out because the skin is not the right temperature.
Doesn't feel cold.
And then she hisses. She flips herself off of the table and runs it, like, backs into a corner.
Yeah.
And crouches defensively. And then realizes, oh, Edward won't be cold because I'm also a vampire now.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that happens in, like, a 16th of a second.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, my God, I'm so stupid. Duh. That's crazy. I love it.
Yeah, it's cool. I do find the constantly talking about how much time has passed to be really annoying.
Yeah.
But I find it interesting at this beginning part here. I get bored of it as the chapter goes on, and I hope it doesn't continue too much longer.
Yeah.
Because I can just know that you're fast.
Yeah, I think it's funny here because it's like her realizing... It's her realizing a second late, like, not even a second, obviously, less than that, of, like, oh my God, I immediately jumped into, like, defensive position, but it was just Edward.
Mm-hmm.
I just completely overreacted. It happened so fast, all of that processing, the reaction, the calming down, which is so, like, predatorial, but also supernatural in the fact that, like, it happens that fast. So I enjoy yeah. it here. It really paints the right picture. I'm getting the vibe. And then
the vibe.
She suddenly looks at Edward and she's like, holy shit. That is the most beautiful man I've ever seen. I've never seen him properly. Holy shit. He's so beautiful. Yeah.
And then she freaks the fuck out.
Yeah. And then Edward's like, hi, Bella. Everything's fine. Everything's cool. And then she's like, wait, everything? What about Charlie? What about Jacob? What about the baby? What's going on? And then he touches her and she's like, oh, fuck, I'm horny. Like, it's so, like, boom, boom, boom. It's
instant.
Yeah.
It is so funny. She wakes up as a vampire instantly horny.
Yeah.
And that is just, like, the realest shit.
And she's like, I thought I wasn't supposed to have this. This wasn't supposed to happen, was it?
Yeah, she was like, I thought I wasn't going to feel, like, any emotions for years.
Yeah.
But she's instantly feeling them.
It's...
And she's pretty normal for a new... Like,
yeah.
She's very unnormal for a newborn.
Yeah.
Because she's so normal.
She knows what she is waking up, which I think many newborns probably don't. Because they didn't even know vampires were real until they suddenly got attacked. And even then, they're like, I don't know what's going on. I think I'm dying. I think I'm getting tortured to death, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I already knew that this was going to happen to me. It was planned. I've been around vampires for like a year now. I know what's going on. And then she's just sort of like, whoa, this is crazy. Whoa. Oh my God, I'm horny. And then she hugs him too hard.
Yeah. And he is hurt by her because she's too strong now.
It's so cute. I don't know why it's cute.
I know.
He's like, carefully, ow.
And she just, ow. She like mouths, oops.
Yeah. And then she's like a bit upset. So she's sort of like, you know, looking at him in concern. And then he touches her cheek again. She's like, oh my God, he's touching me. Oh my God.
She's like, oh my God, I'm horny again. I'm horny. I'm horny. I'm horny.
Yeah. She's having those newborn mood swings.
Yeah.
You know how in, that, again, I'm so glad we read the novella, actually, because there kept being moments of how Bree is describing, like, at the drop of a hat, people are like immediately fighting each other. Like, someone pissed someone off. They took their book or something while they're in their little, like, hideaway thing. And then next thing you know, fight's breaking out. There's an arm ripped off. And if these are the mood swings that are happening with, like, 20 vampires crowded into one space, you kind of understand, like, how it happens so fast.
Right. Yeah. I cannot imagine with, like, that many.
Yeah. A bunch of this happening all at the same time.
And all heightened because they're all...
Yeah.
They weren't prepared for
it. No, I know.
They don't know what's going on.
Yeah. And then Bella says, I love you out loud. And she says it sounds like a singing, like a shimmering bell. And then...
I know.
Edward says he loves her back. And now he's kissing her like she's never been kissed before. And she's like, what the fuck? You've been holding out on me, boy.
He goes full throttle. And we're all... screaming.
Yes,
and
we
like
are. We're screaming,
throwing our book around,
we're clapping, we're applauding,
we're crying, we're throwing up,
all of that. And then Emmett coughs behind them because he's like,
can you guys stop,
we're all watching,
fucking?
Like, can you chill. I think Bella's like practically climbing on him because she's like, her body was like fully leaned in against him, she's like grinding up against him, she's like, let's go. And he's
then,
well, you're not breakable anymore, so want some fuck?
Yeah, and he looks very smug.
Yeah.
This is what I want from him.
Right?
This is what I want from my vampire.
Like, did you think he didn't know how to kiss? No, he knew the whole time. He's just been
holding out.
He
just was going to not hurt you.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then Carlisle ruins the moment. He's like, wow, look at you. You're so controlled. Did the morphine work? And she's like... yeah, totally. Don't remember a thing. And I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah.
God damn it.
I know. She's, I don't care. Just say it hurt.
Just say it. She does recall, like, all the baby panic time. Gory, bloody, horrible mess. And then Carlisle says, the baby is healthy with a reverence. The way devout people talk about their gods.
I know.
Is this Jesus? Did she just have Jesus?
Oh my God, she did.
This is Jesus, right? Like, this is this is Christ.
This is the coming of Christ for sure.
Her body
Renesmee Christ.
Her blood is her wine. Body, eat this.
Oh my God, wait. Blood, wine. Blood is wine for vampires.
Yeah.
The dots, I'm connecting them.
I feel like we're connecting them right now.
It's happening.
So
yeah, Jesus is born on this night.
Yeah.
And
Christ our Savior is born.
On God.
It's a
Christmas
miracle.
No, literally.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Christmas. Happy Christmas.
Yeah. Mary Chrysler. Mm-hmm. So then Carla is like, I want to know everything. Tell me what you remember, what it was like. And then he's like, oh, I'm so rude. I'm so sorry. You must be very, very thirsty right now. And then Bella's like, oh, my God, I am. But, like, she doesn't think about it this whole time until people remind her of it. Because then she's like, oh, a part of my brain is always keeping track of it, but it's not at the forefront of my attention. Which I guess sort of is a good explanation for the way it always seems like Edward is thinking of, like, seven things at once and being like, oh, yeah, I'm listening to this conversation of someone. I'm also reading someone's mind, and I'm also talking to you face to face. So she's, like, able to compartmentalize, like, more of her thoughts at the same time and therefore process more information, which is kind of cool. But, yeah, then she's like, oh, my throat. Ouchie. It's dry. I'm thirsty. I need a sippy sip.
Yeah. Edward says that they'll go figure it out, but she wants to see Renesmee first, and she wants to know about all this other stuff to do with, you know, Jacob and Charlie and everything.
Yeah, and she's like, it's interesting because she does keep noticing that her human memories are already so, like, it feels dark and blurry, and, like, she wasn't seeing things properly as a human, and compared to, like, the way she can see as a vampire, it's so dark.
Yeah.
And she's like, the fact that, like, all of my memories of, like, being pregnant and having this baby are this dark, blurry mess that I have to actively try hard to think of. And now she touches her stomach and it's completely flat. And she's like, it feels like this baby I had is not even real to me. Like, it's like a dream that happened, which is sort of, like, wild. But, like, I get it.
Because she's so completely healed, too.
Yes, exactly. There's no sign of the trauma.
She doesn't even probably have any sort of normal postpartum.
No, yeah.
Sort of sensitivity.
No, definitely not.
Or anything, because her body has just so rapidly healed her.
Yeah.
Kind of wild.
But yeah, she really wants to see her, and Edward's like, she is half human. She does have blood and her heartbeat, so not gonna test that one out right now.
Yeah. Maybe we should not do this.
Yeah. She does hear, like, hearts beating downstairs. Crazy. And she's like, you know, who's with Renesmee right now? Rosalie is. However, she's like asking what's going on, who's, you know, who's where, who's on first, etc. And learns that Jacob is also still here. And she's like, hello? Why? What? What's going on? And Edward's like, chill out. We'll talk more. Let's get you that blood in your belly.
Yeah.
Also, funny thing, she has this thought that crosses her mind of, like, I don't even know how to hunt. Like, how do I do that? What am I supposed to do? Like, can you imagine first day at vampire school and you're like, how do I eat the thing I'm supposed to eat? Like, am I going to be a cringe fail vampire who, like, cannot score?
Or, like, even just, like,
it's awkward.
You're just, like, walking through the woods being like, what am I even, like, do I jump on it?
Right. Like, you're like,
what do I do to this thing?
What am I supposed to do? Like, where do I bite it?
What? Yeah. Oh, my God. You're so right.
Like, I don't know. It just strikes me as so funny of, like, the awkwardness of trying to feed as a vampire for your first time.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know what
especially
I'm doing.
Especially when it's not a human, too.
Right.
Or you're like, at least with humans, you've seen it in media. Sure. You kind of get the vibe.
Yeah.
But when you're just
trying,
like, to, like, go kill an elk or something.
Yeah.
Like, how do you even,
like, I guess there's a bear over there. Am I supposed to go eat a bear? Do I want a bear? Does this make me hungry? Like,
am I supposed to hit it with something? Like, do I knock it out first?
Yeah, just the logistics of it all. Like, am I supposed to share with you? Like, is this a two-person meal? Like, how much food is enough for one person? Is it rude if I don't offer my bear to you?
Do you want to share bears? Ooh, woo.
It's the share bear countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The awkwardness of trying to just, like, figure out how to eat for your first time.
Yeah, it's like you pop up as a human fully grown and you've never eaten anything in your life.
Know.
And they put, like, a steak dinner in front of you. And you're like,
Why?
And like a full set of cutlery.
And you're like, I don't know any of this.
And a side of potatoes and green beans. And you're like, what the fuck is going on?
And then
on?
You pick up the fork and you start combing your hair with it. Because you're like, I don't know.
And then you go part of your world. And then you break into song and dance.
Yeah, exactly. Go on and kiss the girl.
Yeah. And that's actually exactly what would happen.
It's the perfect analogy. Literally, it's her first time being a human, too. She's like, I don't know what I'm doing.
It's true.
Kind of a Little Mermaid moment.
Anytime I do something new, I'm going to call it a Little Mermaid moment. It's like kind of like a Little Mermaid moment, you know? Okay.
So Alice.
So she has her Little Mermaid moment.
Yeah. And Alice is like, you promised I could be there for the first time. Do not fucking leave right now. Because what if she accidentally sees herself in a reflective surface? Because Alice wants Bella to see what she looks like as a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so Alice, especially because she didn't do that when Bella was getting married. Like, she didn't make sure that Bella saw herself before that whole thing happened. And Edward's like, hello? Oh, yeah. Also, Jasper looks scary because he's covered in scars.
Jasper looks even worse, which is just so mean.
Update. Edward Jasper looks hands. Worse.
More at 11. Sorry, 11:15 after the whole baby
thing.
Right,
yeah. So there's a news order happening, okay? They're not at the same time.
Yeah, Yep. We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't double.
They're on the same
like
channel,
that.
Okay? You don't need to flip between two different news stations for this, all right? So
so she I love that Alice comes back with a full-length mirror that is it says that it is what does she say? Where is it? She comes back with something from Rosalie's room.
Oh, it's a gilt-framed mirror, which is twice as tall as she was and several times as wide.
It's like, how did she carry that?
Well, yeah. How do you carry something that is several times as wide? Like,
right. I know that she can physically lift it.
Yeah.
How did she get it through the door frame?
Turn sideways. No, but it's... Yeah,
no.
Turn sideways.
Maybe.
Because twice as wide is still shorter than a door frame.
I guess.
Hilarious image. This is like...
It's still goofy.
It's goofy. It's goofy and it's silly.
It's silly and goofy for sure.
You know what's... I would call it silly and goofy. It's fucking I'm not like other girls' behavior. So Bella looks at herself and she's like, oh my God. Beautiful. Just as beautiful as Alice. Perfect, flawless, smooth, strong. And then she's horrified. I'm like, no. Why are you horrified? Come on.
I know. I don't. She's confused because she can't see her face anywhere in it.
Yeah.
And later on, she goes to, like, specify that she doesn't see herself in it because she doesn't see her flaws.
Yeah.
And so she sees herself
as flaws. As flaws, yeah.
And when those are taken away because she's vampires like, are made perfect or whatever.
Who is she? I don't know.
I would love that.
Me too.
I don't know why she's horrified.
Yeah. Sounds.
I would love to simply be perfect.
Sounds sad. Yeah. She really does have a who is she moment.
Yeah, literally.
Her
eyes are also flaming red.
Yeah. She feels a little thrill of terror about her red eyes, even though she knew to expect it. And she won't even like claim her own eyes. She says the eyes, how long, because she can't even say my eyes. Edward's like,
they are creepy. I mean, when she's so used to being horrified by the sight of red eyes, it is scary to then see it on yourself.
It's pretty cool though.
It is. Also, it's interesting how she, that's really a thing that won't let her see like Charlie and them, because how the fuck are you going to cover up red eyes?
Your eyes are fucking red.
Yeah.
For months.
Your father knows the color of your eyes. Like,
yeah, I think you got it from him, actually.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, so she's going to have red eyes for months. And Jasper's like, I can feel that you're anxious. Let me step forward and do some emotional stuff just in case. Yeah.
But Bella has a way to... She controls her emotions in a way that seems unusual.
Yeah. Yeah.
She stops an emotion in its tracks because she saw their concern.
Yeah. It's
is it because Bella is so aggressively a people pleaser that she doesn't even honestly, her power is people pleasing.
What a horrible power.
I know. I would hate that.
Like a refund on this power.
Yeah. I hate being nice to people.
Same.
I would much rather make them more angry.
Same.
Anyway.
Yeah. So they're just like, no, it's, you're not weird. It's very impressive. We just don't know how long you're going to be good at that. So it's, we're just keeping an eye on you.
Yeah. And they decided to go hunt because that will take off a level of urgency that can make her unstable.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's pretty much the chapter.
Also, Edward's upset that he can't read her mind still.
Oh, yeah.
Also, she has a great line. She says, I guess my brain will never work right. At least I'm pretty. And I'm like, oh, true so words real. Never been spoken.
Right. It's like, I'm going to be mentally ill for the rest of my life, but at least I'm cute. So, you know, it's chill.
Yeah. And then, they're like, let's fucking hunt. Let's share a bear. Let's fucking go.
And they go ahead and, you know, like, traipse off into the sunset.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
It's very funny. Jasper is obviously the one who's the most experienced with newborns, so that's why he's having more of a forward presence in this chapter right now of, like, let me be on guard. Let me be ready to control emotions just in case, because obviously, like I just said earlier about the Bree Tanner stuff, it's the rapid mood swings that actually makes them flip into attack mode so quickly. So obviously, if Jasper can control that, then you're going to be fine. But he's just like, I don't get it. I don't have to do any. What? Why are you weird? Yeah. Why are you weird?
Man's, why are you weird? Very good question, to be honest.
Yeah. So she's not like other girls because Edward can't read her mind. And now also she can control her emotions as a newborn.
Slay.
Big slay for Bella. That's the end of the chapter.
I think so. Yeah.
The next one's called First Hunt. I wonder what happens.
Wow, I wonder what. I bet they go to the movies. They go to see FNAF.
Yeah, they do. That's what's hunting. Yeah.
Yeah. Freddy.
We do have some comments on our last episode. Shout out to How to Milk a Vampire. So comment from Dodie. I want the unabridged version of this episode with the full 3 hours of giggling over, do you think they milked him? I need it.
Sometimes I think about it later and I'm like, wow.
I
can't believe I said that out loud.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we're right though. They did.
They did milk him.
From Arrowbeck. If Jay is only with B, if Jacob is only with Bella to imprint on her child, wouldn't he imprint on her kids no matter the father? If not, wouldn't Jacob also have the same connection he has with Bella with Edward? Because Renesmee is half of Edward too. Gay. Gay question mark, sparkle, like, nails, sparkle emoji.
I like that conclusion. I love it. That's so interesting because I didn't think about it in that way. Because I think that he's so attached to... I think there's a level of fate that is prevalent in these books. I mean, clearly from the whole idea of imprinting and like vampires having their like mate basically or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Bella was always destined to have a child with Edward.
Right.
But I agree. I'm a little bit confused as to why he didn't have as much of a connection with Edward then. And I agree that it is gay.
Well, we didn't get to be in Jacob's head until now.
That's true. And at this point, he was like begrudgingly kind of liking Edward.
Yeah.
So
we don't know.
Maybe he's just has a lot of internalized homophobia and that's why he didn't like Edward the whole time.
Sure. Yeah. I'll buy it.
But secretly, he's like,
From Danny.
Sparkly boy.
From Danny Beans. This podcast has made me confront being a Jacob imprinting apologist as a teenager. And I didn't think I could be more humbled.
Damn. That's crazy. And I have something for you, Danny Beans, and it's this fat L.
Yeah. Those people existed. I was always fighting them. So I knew they were
like physically?
Yeah, physically. I was throwing hands. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, just on the comment forums of Facebook, deep in there.
Ooh, I love that. Tumblr?
No. No. Uh-huh. 100%. Okay. It was like Facebook fandom stuff.
I love that Facebook fandom is a thing. I'm a little too young for Facebook.
Yeah, and I was
is silly and goofy to me.
Yeah, I was just in like a bunch of Facebook groups that were about Twilight. Like one of them was called like Stupid Shiny Volvo Owner. One of them was, what is it? I think it was Do I Dazzle You was one of the names of them.
Wow.
Yeah, there were a bunch of Twilight.
If any of you guys were in any of these, please let us know.
Yeah, because
I actually want to know if you guys had crossover.
Yeah. Last comment is from John Bro. In Friday the 13th, they play Strip Monopoly.
Oh.
See? There you go. I don't know how that would work, but
I don't know how that would work either. Maybe we need to go watch Friday the 13th.
Oh, I need to pay for this property. Guess I'll give you my shirt.
Yeah. Is it like if you go to jail, you have to remove an item of clothing? I don't know.
Damn. Yeah, like,
it's like a really long game to be stripping during.
Yeah, I think
imagine you have like a really bad time of it, like right at the beginning, and you strip down to nothing, and then the game keeps going for 6 more hours. Yeah, and then you're just stuck
playing Monopoly naked.
Yeah, with your dick and balls out.
Your dick and balls are touching the ground right now.
Yeah, because we were all sitting on the ground.
While you pay someone to ride on their railroad that they own. Pass go,
collect $200. And then the naked guy makes a huge comeback and is the winner of Monopoly. That'd be cool.
Are you really a winner of Monopoly if your dick and balls are touching the ground?
Yeah. Yes, you are. I would argue that you're not a winner unless your dick and balls are touching the ground. That's what makes you a real winner.
I agree with you, actually. That was so true. In this day and age. That was correct. You were right. I don't know why I questioned it.
Yeah, please don't question me.
So anyway, that's the end of this episode. We made it.
Yeah,
we did it.
It really is. Do we have any new patrons or no?
No.
Okay, cool. Great.
So I want to.
This has been fun, guys.
Yeah, I just want to thank our Master Vampire patrons for supporting us and all that we do, including whatever this was. Shout out Dan, Thea, Emily, Steven, Dory, and Cassidy. We love you very much. We're biting you on the neck.
We love you.
Again.
Yeah. I like that you were in near tears while saying
that. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. we'll share our bear with all of you.
We would. That's true. Okay. What do you think bear meat tastes like?
It's not even meat. They're just eating. It's just blood.
I know. I'm just considering. You know, if I were to have some.
Well, they're omnivores, so probably okay.
What? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway.
Okay.
Let us know if you've eaten bear meat.
Yeah. Tell me. What meats have you eaten? Ayo.
Eat my meat next, bitch.
I'm totally putting that up as the question on the Spotify.
That's horrible. Please do it.
I'm doing it.
Great. Well, on that horrendous note, we're going to end this episode.
Okay, bye.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening to Unbitten. If you want to get in contact with us,
follow us on Twitter at UnbittenPod or subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/UnbittenPod. And for now, the rest is still Unbitten.